The market doesn't joke around, so why would you? Get serious. Choose Tastytrade. Tastytrade gives you the tools you need to make smarter moves. Dig into data with advanced charting, track profit accurately with order chain trackers, see risk clearly with curve analysis, and trade with low-capped commissions, stocks, options, futures, and more. All on one platform. No wonder serious traders choose Tastytrade. Join the club, genius. Tasty Trading is a registered broker-dealer and member of FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Frank Holland, and you're listening to CNBC's Worldwide Exchange. Our show is live weekdays at 5 a.m. Eastern. Listen in. It is 5 a.m. here at CNBC Global Headquarters. I'm Frank Holland. Here is your 5 at 5. We start with keeping the rally going. Wall Street looking to push deeper into record territory today. After Jay Powell and the Fed, they maintained their commitment to 3 rate cuts. The U.S. rally rippling through markets all around the world as Japan hits a fresh all-time high. We have a live report from that region in just a moment. Also, equity exuberance in the IPO markets as well as Reddit gets set for its first trades. It follows a rocket ship of a debut from Astera Labs. Plus, a stellar quarter from Micron has its stock and the entire chip sector surging ahead of the open. And later, possible pressure for Apple and reported antitrust allegations. It's Thursday, March the 21st, 2024. You are watching Worldwide Exchange right here on CNBC. Good morning. Welcome to Worldwide Exchange. Thank you so much for being here with us. Let's get you ready for the trading day ahead. We're going to kick off this hour with a check of U.S. stock futures with the Dow, the S&P 500, and the Nasdaq, all of them coming off record closing highs and looking to push deeper into the green this morning. You see it in the futures market. Strong showing for all three indices. Right now, the Nasdaq looks like it would open up about 0.75% higher. You can see right here the Dow looking like it would open up more than 100 points higher. We're also paying attention to small caps this morning, with the Russell coming off a nearly 2% gain, also indicated higher this morning as well. You got to keep in mind, small caps rising almost 2% with its largest holding, Supermicro, actually in the red today. And also, we're going to look at the broader market ahead of the open. 80 S&P 500 stocks, they're set to open up at fresh 52-week or all-time highs. That includes Dow components, American Express right now up 0.33% in the pre-market, Visa up fractionally, and Caterpillar up fractionally as well. So, of course, all of this after the Fed maintained its commitment to cutting interest rates by 75 basis points before the end of this year, and that's despite stubborn inflation. With that, we're checking the bond market and yields right now at their highest level in 4 weeks. Taking a look at the benchmark right now at 4.23%. We'll continue to watch that throughout the morning. And we also have to get a quick check of a few big money movers. We're going to start off with Micron. Shares surging in the pre-market after reporting its first profit since 2022. The chipmaker also issuing better-than-expected outlook for the current quarter, citing strong demand for AI-related products. Micron projecting $6.6 billion in sales for the current quarter. That guidance, about $600 million higher than even the most bullish estimate. You can see shares of Micron right now up just about 16.5%. I'm going to move that line, but pay attention to this line right here. Big jump following that earnings report week to date. The stock up just about 20%. Obviously, earnings, the big catalyst there. We also want to talk the IPO market, specifically Amazon-backed chip maker Astera Labs, surging in its market debut and set to open up higher again this morning as investors get set for another IPO. That's Reddit today. As you can see right now, Astera Labs up 6% in the pre-market. Huge debut yesterday, jumping about 70% in its public debut. We're going to talk much more about the IPO market and the markets in general in just a moment. But now we want to get a check on the overseas action with our JP Ong in Singapore and our Karen Cho in our London newsroom. JP, we're going to kick things off with you.
Well, good morning again to you guys out there, Frank. And yes, a terrific Thursday for most stock markets out here in Asia. And you saw gains pretty much from Sydney to Seoul today. And again, a lot of this also on the back of Fed Chair Jerome Powell issuing those assuaging words, soothing markets and confirming that, yes, while they're expecting higher inflation to tick up a little bit higher, they are seeing still 3 rate hikes in the horizon and that supporting sentiment across this region. Keep in mind, Japanese markets were offline yesterday. They came back and resumed trading today. And they even thwarted that stronger yen, which typically weighs on equities out in Tokyo. No problems whatsoever for the Nikkei 225, which once again climbed another all-time high and recorded solid gains, with tech stocks and property stocks among the notable gainers out in Tokyo. We saw the ASX 200 also getting a boost from higher gold miners, especially those higher gold prices in today's session, spot prices, supporting miners and commodity prices, having a better Thursday, supporting the Sydney benchmark overall. But we want to take a look also at the KOSPI also, because they're one of the big beneficiaries of this chip rally we've seen, sparked somewhat by Micron's better-than-expected results, actually. And you'll see here the likes of Samsung Electronics and SK Hynix looking quite bullish. In fact, at their AGM yesterday, Samsung said that they're seeing very strong opportunities in AI. But as you can see from today's action, SK Hynix running away with everything pretty much and recording that very strong surge. Also, the possibility of those lower rate hikes also supporting tech stocks across the region. TSMC in Taipei and Renesas in Tokyo also benefiting. But not everyone was a winner in Asia today. In fact, you'll see here that the Shanghai Composite and the CSI 300 actually closed marginally in the red. And there are still big questions in China about when we're going to see meaningful stimulus to support the world's second largest economy. That might be more top of mind for investors out in the mainland. But you can see here that in Hong Kong, the Hang Seng not really getting dragged down by their counterparts in the mainland. They did quite well today. And keep an eye on property stocks also in Hong Kong. They're a big component of the Hang Seng. And as we know, lower rates in the future also supporting the outlook for property developers across the region, and the Hang Seng one of those big beneficiaries. That's pretty much what happened out here in Asia, and we'll see if we can continue that momentum heading into the last trading day of this week. But for now, it's back to you folks out in New York. Good morning.
All right, JP, thank you very much. We're going to turn our attention now to the early trade in Europe and our Karen Cho in London.
Thanks very much, Frank. Well, central bank news is dominating. From the outset, we saw fresh records on the Stoxx Europe 600 in reaction to the Fed. But the SNB, the Swiss, have also shocked today, going for cutting rates from 1.75% to 1.5%. So we are seeing reaction on markets. The Stoxx Europe 600 record, the DAX record early on, that market up 0.6%. Later on, it's about the Bank of England here as well. We've got this market perched above 7,800 points. Don't forget the FTSE 100 has struggled to hold that threshold in recent years, but a huge focus on the SMI today, 1.1% up thanks to the Swiss National Bank deciding to cut rates and loosen policy. Don't forget, it does not have an inflation problem. It is forecasting inflation of 1.4% this year instead of 1.9% that it was seeing. Growth rates also slim, about 1%. You compare that to the Fed that's guiding higher this year on growth. But what we've got across the board, we've got a very strong reaction in the sectors. Cyclicals are it. Basic resources, retail, tech, all trading higher at this stage. And you can see how it plays out, more than 2% to the upside in those names. We are weathering weaker data today too. We had PMIs out earlier. German manufacturing still showing challenges. And we saw slippage on the French PMIs in the manufacturing and the services side. When it comes to the reaction from the Swiss National Bank, don't forget we thought they'd be in the camp of June. So it has shocked the market today, seeing that move by the Swiss. We've seen a drop in the Swissie versus the dollar. The Swiss are talking about standing by to intervene on foreign exchange markets. So there has been somewhat of a shock reaction. To round it out, you're talking about IPOs. We had one in Germany today. That was Douglas, a perfume retailer. Back to you, Frank.
All right, Karen, thank you very much. Our Karen Cho live in our London newsroom. We're going to turn our attention now back to Wall Street. U.S. stock futures once again pointing to a higher open. It's all about Jay Powell doubling down on the central bank's outlook for 75 basis points in cuts before the end of this year, but still leaving the door open for a few tweaks if they're necessary.
We believe that our policy rate is likely at its peak for this tightening cycle, and that if the economy evolves broadly as expected, it will likely be appropriate to begin dialing back policy restraint at some point this year. The economic outlook is uncertain, however, and we remain highly attentive to inflation risks. We are prepared to maintain the current target range for the federal funds rate for longer, if appropriate.
All right, joining me now is David Waddell, CEO of Waddell & Associates. David, good morning. Great to have you here.
Good morning, Frank. Good to see you.
All right, so you couldn't tell by the tone that Jay Powell used right there, but that got the markets very excited, what he said there and what he said throughout the press conference. You liked what you heard. The markets liked it as well with the record closes. Three cuts this year in the plans, and you're also focused on the upgrade to the GDP projection, a 0.7% increase this year. What does that say to you about the markets?
I mean, it says that the Fed is bullish, and you should be too. because that GDP markup you just referenced of 0.7 means that they upgraded their growth estimate for this year by 50% while simultaneously upgrading their inflation perspective by 8%. That's huge. And they upgraded their long run forecast for what interest rate level the neutral rate could be at 2.6%, which means they're long run bullish on this economy too. More growth, lower inflation means more productivity, which means more earnings. And so they increase the probability that analyst estimates for earnings growth this year are correct, maybe too low. And they also increase the probability that we'll see at least this level of valuations, if not higher, as they cut rates six times over the next 3 years. So, I mean, it's hard for me to stand still right now because I kind of want to dance.
I know you emailed me Fly Markets Fly, kind of a play on our Philadelphia Eagles. I want to talk to you about one part of the market that a lot of people have tried to get excited about, but has lagged, the small caps. Tom Lee on CNBC last night, once again, calling for a 50% increase in small caps this year. The GDP projection that you're really excited about, that's also generally, you see you nodding, that's a read into the small caps. A stronger economy really works for those stocks. And also, if we get those cuts, whether it's three or even less, still benefits those stocks, especially interest rate sensitive. What's your view on small caps right now? Do you agree with Tom Lee, 50% possible rise this year?
Well, I think I was with you maybe, a few weeks back, and we talked about kind of equal weighting everything. And that was a nod to the fact that performance would probably start moving down the cap spectrum. Since early February, the equal weights actually outperformed. There's been a stealth rally in the mid caps and in the small caps, and here's why. There's going to be 20% earnings growth for the S&P 500 over the next 2 years. There's going to be 20% earnings growth in the mid caps over the next 2 years. There's going to be 20% earnings growth in small caps over the next 2 years. How much do you want to pay? You can pay 21 times for large caps. You can pay 15, 16 times for mid caps. You can pay 14 times for small caps. And small caps get a tailwind to earnings from lower interest costs. And you see the 10-year trickling lower today, even with the Fed's growth outlook rising. So I think people have been waiting really to push the money flows into small caps until they see the whites of the Fed's eyes. The Feds are going to cut rates in June. So that's the all clear for small caps. It's better to be early to a trade than late. So at this point, it was up, as you said in your opener, 2% yesterday versus the S&P up 1. That's a significant order of magnitude. And as you referenced, the futures look like another doubling today. Right. So I think it's time. I think the small cap run starts in earnest now.
All right. So we'll have to see if Tom Lee's right. You sound bullish on small caps as well. Keep in mind, small caps only up about 2% year to date so far. So we're talking about 48% possible rise for the rest of this year.
I didn't endorse that.
I know you didn't, but you are very bullish. David Waddell, always great to see you. Thank you very much.
Nice to see you, Frank.
All right, we got a lot more to come here on Worldwide Exchange, including Reddit looking to satisfy investor IPO appetite in a very big way ahead of its New York Stock Exchange debut. Plus, Apple reportedly in the crosshairs of federal prosecutors and a possible antitrust lawsuit. And later, a rough quarter for Five Below as the stock gets hit hard in the pre-market. We have more of your big money movers in a very busy hour when Worldwide Exchange returns. Stay with us.
What does it mean to be rich? Is it having more stories to share or time to give? Is it being able to keep your loved ones close or travel somewhere far away? At Edward Jones, we believe the key to being rich is knowing what counts. Your dedicated financial advisor will take a comprehensive approach to your financial strategy to help support what truly matters to you. EdwardJones.com/findyourrich. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
All right, time now for a check of our top corporate stories. Silvana Hanau is here with those. Silvana, big week for IPOs.
It really is, Frank. Good morning. And Reddit getting set for its public market debut on the New York Stock Exchange today. The social media company pricing shares at the top of its expected range at $34 a share, giving the company a fully diluted value of $6.4 billion. still well below its $10 billion valuation hit in the private markets back in 2021. Meanwhile, the Department of Justice reportedly set to file an antitrust lawsuit against Apple as soon as today. According to Bloomberg, the suit will accuse the company of blocking rivals from accessing hardware and software features of its iPhone. Shares are down about 1% in the pre-market. And we're also watching shares of Paramount Global trying to extend yesterday's double-digit gains right now, just up fractionally in the pre-market. And this after a report Apollo Global Management has made an $11 billion offer to buy Paramount Global's Hollywood studio, Paramount Pictures. Now, the offer detailed by the Wall Street Journal comes as Paramount's board reviews a bid from Skydance Media for all of Paramount Global, Frank.
All right, Silvana, thank you very much. Yeah. We're going to keep the stock story train rolling right now. Time for your big money movers. We're going to start off with shares of Five Below. They're sinking right now. The retailer missing earnings and revenue estimates due to higher than anticipated instances of theft. Guidance also coming in lower than expected as Five Below takes measures to combat shrink. That includes limits to the self-checkout service. Shares of Five Below down just about 12.5% right now. Very different story for another retailer. Shares of Guess. They're popping on strong earnings and guidance. Management calling the quarter an inflection point as they prepare to acquire Rag & Bone through a joint venture with WHP Global. Guess is also paying out a special dividend of $2.25 coming up in May. Hong Kong shares of XPeng. They're tumbling this morning as Alibaba plans to sell 33 million of XPeng's U.S. traded shares. This marks the third time in 4 months Alibaba has reduced its stake in the EV maker. XPeng says it's also terminated a 2021 agreement to appoint an Alibaba nominee as a director, but will continue to work with the company on research, development, and marketing. Shares of XPeng down just about 6.5% right now. All right, coming up here on Worldwide Exchange, FedEx results after the close today. A look at the number one thing to watch, and a Bank of America says the stock is a buy ahead of that report. You want to stay with us. Don't miss it.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. Quick look at the futures right now. Off of their highs of earlier this morning, looks like the Dow would open up just about 100 points higher. The NASDAQ, still the best performer, at least in the pre-market, up over 0.5%. And right now, we're also looking at some of the gainers from the Dow in the pre-market. Intel, right there at the top of your list, shares up over 1%. Remember, big announcement, a CHIP Act award that came yesterday, giving the stock a big boost. Right behind it, Boeing, Microsoft, and Cisco Systems. And now we want to turn our attention to the Dow laggards. See Apple right there at the top of the list. Shares down more than 1%. We'll be talking more about Apple in just a bit, followed by Verizon and Coca-Cola. All right, now turning our attention to what could be one of your big money movers for today. We're talking about FedEx. Shares of that company moving higher ahead of earnings after the close, though still underperforming the broader markets. Winter weather and a softer e-commerce environment really weighing on shares this year. Wall Street's also expecting a muted holiday quarter. Revenue's forecast to be flat, profit to grow by 1.5%. This is also the last quarter before FedEx consolidates Express, Ground, and Freight into one single unit. The key area to watch in this report is Express air delivery. It generates just about half of revenue, but is also a major area for cost cutting. Estimates have revenue falling slightly year over year, but look at this bar chart right here. The thing you really want to watch here is margin as the company tries to cut cost and right-size its air fleet as well as its staffing. Also keep in mind, rival DHL also citing weakness in air freight. Joining me now on the CNBC Newsline with his expectations for the quarter, Ken Huxter, Senior Transportation Analyst at BofA Securities. Ken, always great to see you. In this case, hear from you. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Frank.
All right, so let's go to what your expectations are. You have a buy rating on FedEx. You have a price target of 313. That implies about a 20% increase from where it is right now. What are you seeing in this stock?
So what we're seeing is, you know, this quarter you've got a lot of pressure from weather. We're coming in looking for below consensus seasonally. They typically have pressure from the extra employees they've hired for peak season. So we think you're going to see continued pressure on results despite being in the midst of what is a $6 billion cost-cutting program. And that's really the leverage that we're going to see as we move through the year. So you've got some leftover costs from peak season, continued pressure on volumes that weigh on Express. We could see a quarter here where Express margins are almost at break-even. I think probably the worst quarter we've seen at Express almost since we've covered the company. But on ground, we're going to continue to move up to double digits. And that's the move, as you mentioned, right, is the move to the next step, which is blending the two of them together and continuing that $6 billion cost-cutting program through Drive and Network 2.0, which is going to consolidate the two of them.
Yeah, so a lot of different initiatives all happening at the same time. Again, in June, they're supposed to consolidate the companies. I want to go back to Express. We're going to show the audience that bar chart once again. If you look on the right-hand side, the estimate for this quarter is 1.1% margin for Express, as you mentioned, pretty close to breaking even. Where do you see the turnaround in this business in general? E-commerce seems to be shifting from air delivery to ground delivery. That's really where the money is to be made.
So there's two parts of Express, right? You've got both international, where if you remember a few years ago, they bought TNT.
Right.
They had some integration issues. They're working on cutting about $600 million of costs out of that, hopefully getting that toward break even and eventually toward profitability. And then domestically, it's about parking old aircraft. It's about reshaping that network that was built for faster growth. As you mentioned, it's now decelerating, probably growing if flat at all, if not decelerating below GDP growth.
Right.
And so you've got to adjust the network for that. And that's pulling out costs, parking planes, consolidating sort centers. That's a big part of what the Drive program is,
of course,
until you get to Network 2.0, which is blending the two of them.
All right, let's talk about the ground business for a second. Some of their competitors, GXO and also Ryder, they've been citing softness when it comes to the logistics business and also e-commerce. How do you see that impacting FedEx? And also there's reports that they're in talks with Amazon to bring some of that volume back.
Well, I saw those same reports where it looked like they broke off the negotiations and are not going to be moving the volumes for Amazon. But maybe that comes back and they reabsorb that. If you remember, a couple of years ago, before COVID, they effectively broke up with Amazon and stopped moving packages for Amazon. From their view, it was, hey, they're not paying enough to be on the network. So ground margins have gotten back to double digits last quarter. We expect them to stay at double digit margins. And so we do look for slight growth, again, below GDP, but slight growth at the ground side as e-commerce continues to grow. But remember, they're more B2B, continuing to get those kinds of packages in terms of unit growth.
Is there anything else that you think investors should look out for? FedEx, more leverage to China than their rival UPS. How do you see that impacting the business? And also the macro environment that CEO Raj Subramanian flagged a while ago, calling for a recession. We haven't seen the recession, but we certainly have seen some weakness in certain regions that have impacted this business.
Yeah, look, and that's a big part of that international that I was talking about, right? If Express overall is near break even, UPS on their international side shows about 20% margins on their international business. Now, again, they are more European oriented than Asian based. FedEx historically had more Asia based until they bought TNT. So you've got to, again, reshape that network. If you're running a network that is constantly flying aircraft, and volumes are coming down, that's a huge negative leverage that we've seen in this negative volume period. So you've got to react to that, and that's what they're doing. They're parking old MD-11s. They're eliminating those, and so you're continuing to shrink that network,
right,
while still offering it. And that just means reshaping where your hubs are how you launch those aircraft.
All right, Ken, always great to hear from you. Got to leave it there. Your price target for FedEx ahead of the report, 313. Thanks again. All right,
thanks,
coming up here on Worldwide Exchange, where our next guest says investors haven't been this bullish in years and why they aren't waiting around for the Fed to push these markets to new highs. And as CNBC celebrates Women's Heritage Month, we're sharing the stories of some of our newly named CNBC Changemakers, an annual list of 50 women who are innovating and transforming business. As we head to break, here is 12th co-founder and chief science officer, Ita Ashike.
I think what others can learn from my journey as a female leader is really resilience and perseverance. Many steps along the way, I've experienced challenges and roadblocks, and having the ability to move past them, to celebrate the small wins, and take the challenges as they come has been a key part of getting me to this point.
All right, welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. I'm Frank Holland. Let's get you ready for this trading day ahead. We pick up the half an hour with a check of U.S. stock futures after the Dow, the S&P, and the Nasdaq. All three of them had a record closing high. And right now, you can see right here, in the green in the futures market, looking to push deeper into record territory, possibly at the open. Right now, it looks like the Dow would open up about 80 points higher off of its highs of earlier. The Nasdaq also firmly in the green, the best performer, up over 0.5%. You can see the S&P as well, solidly in the green. But right now, we want to talk about small caps with the Russell coming off a nearly 2% gain. Also, as you can see right here, indicated higher this morning. Yesterday, closed 2% higher. But again, indicated higher this morning as well. For the week, you can see up almost 2% as well. And ahead of the open, some 80 S&P 500 stocks are set to open up at fresh 52-week or all-time highs. That includes Dow components, American Express, Visa, and Caterpillar. You can see all three of them in the green in the pre-market as well. American Express up over 0.5%. So, of course, all this comes after the Fed maintained its commitment to cutting interest rates by 75 basis points before the end of the year, and that's despite stubborn inflation.
We believe that our policy rate is likely at its peak for this tightening cycle, and that if the economy evolves broadly as expected, it will likely be appropriate to begin dialing back policy restraint at some point this year. The economic outlook is uncertain, however, and we remain highly attentive to inflation risks. We are prepared to maintain the current target range for the federal funds rate for longer, if appropriate.
And with that, we are checking the bond market this morning. And take a look at yields at their highest level in 4 weeks. The benchmark right now at 4.23%. We'll continue to look at yields and talk about them throughout the show. Okay, that's your morning money setup. Let's now see how the overseas markets are reacting to all this. Sylvia Amaro is in our London newsroom with much more on the early action. Sylvia, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. It is an exciting morning if you're following European markets. At this stage, we have the stock 600 trading up by about 0.5%. Earlier, though, we did see the stock 600 actually hitting a record high. A couple of developments out of Europe this morning. We did hear from the Swiss National Bank announcing a surprise rate cut. Now, they became the first major economy to go ahead with a rate cut. But I have to say that European stocks were already rallying before that announcement. I want to show you how we're trading in terms of the geographical divide over here in Europe. We are seeing off the back of the announcement from Switzerland that the main index is also trading higher by about 0.6%. And over here in the UK, the moves are even more significant. We are seeing the FTSE 100 up by about 0.8%, as we also await to hear from the Bank of England in a couple of hours. When it comes to the sectoral divide, this is the picture at the stage. We have been seeing quite a lot of momentum when it comes to basic resources. This off the back of the Federal Reserve comment yesterday saying that they are committed to the 3 rate cuts this year. But the overall narrative of rate cuts across the major economies, Frank, are also driving higher real estate, tech and retail stocks. On that note, though, back to you.
All right, Sylvia Amaro in our London newsroom. Sylvia, thank you very much. All right, there's so much at play in the markets today, so much. Let's get more insight from two friends of the show. Jeff Kilberg is the founder and CEO of KKM Financial, also a CNBC contributor. And Gunjan Banerjee is a lead writer for the Markets Live section at the Wall Street Journal. She's also a CNBC contributor. She's right here in the house. Her latest piece in the journal's titled, Investors Haven't Been This Bullish in Years. Look at that title. I think that's a great place to start right now as we talk about the S&P, the Nasdaq hitting new record highs. After the Fed press conference, Jay Powell maintaining the idea that we're going to get 3 rate cuts, saying he's not so worried about inflation. Are investors just even more bullish than they ever have been?
It sure seems like that, right? With these, you know, simultaneous records that we saw in the major indexes. And just zooming out a little bit, when I talk with investors, when I look at positioning across a range of assets, what you're seeing is people really embracing this rally, embracing what Powell said about, you know, higher economic growth this year, lower inflation in the future, a less of a risk of higher unemployment. We're seeing that across the futures market, the derivatives market, the stock market, of course, where, you know, futures positioning across the S&P 500, the Nasdaq shows that asset managers haven't been this bullish since 2019. You know, net bullish positions are hovering around some of the highest levels in years.
All right. So, Jeff, I'm going to come over to you. A lot of bullishness in the market. But I think the question a lot of people are trying to figure out is, do you want to play the broadening of the market? We mentioned earlier in the show, 80 S&P 500 companies hitting a 52 or all-time high. Or do you want to get back to that tech trade? Does that have more room to run?
Well, I think it's fascinating, Frank, and I do agree there's a bullish sentiment. I'm cautiously optimistic. However, I think the input into the recent bullishness, let's think for just one second. When we saw the S&P 500 go up to 4,800, it took nearly 2 years to go from 4,800 in the S&P 500 up to 4,900. Now we've seen the S&P 500 go from 4,900 above 5,200. It looks like it's going to trade 5,300 today in about 50 trading days. So I think the bullishness that's being expressed right now is more chasing. You're seeing nearly $7 trillion in cash chasing this market higher. And with Fed Chairman Powell green lighting the marketplace, we are seeing a little bit of March madness. So I take a little bit of pause here with the S&P 500 at new all-time highs and the VIX at 13. So I think you have to be cautious here, but cautiously optimistic. But remember, Frank, we do not see markets move straight higher. And that's what we've seen since November.
You know, that is what we've seen since November. And we've also seen that in the chips market. So natural segue over to Micron. Much better than expected earnings, profitable when the street was expecting a loss. What are these results from Micron? What does that say to you about not only this company, but also about the chip sector in general? And again, this AI trade.
Yeah, I think Micron, and I know you read my CNBC Pro article being bullish on Micron last Friday, Frank, prior to the earnings. But what's interesting about Micron, anything AI is seeing high tide lifts all boats. And what you're seeing with Micron at a new all-time high, looking to move even higher, is due to the fact it's one-tenth the size of NVIDIA, but still, it's in the semiconductor space. It's essential to this whole AI theme, which we've embraced as investors, not just in 2023, but again in 2024. So Micron has the ability, and I actually have a target of $120, which is not much higher from where it is after a big nearly 20% pop on earnings.
All right, so Gunjan, I want to talk to you. Chips are a very cyclical business. The SMH ETF, one that we watch pretty closely when we're talking chips, trading very close to its all-time high. What do you make of just this, all this enthusiasm when it comes to chips?
This enthusiasm, it's been crazy. I think there's a lot of FOMO driving this. The AI trade has been taking over the market. You can see that in the options market. You can see that in the stocks market.
Is it getting frothy? Is it getting toppy? I mean, all these different words that we use. What do you make of this?
Well, it's interesting because I think everyone keeps wondering, when is this going to fall out? But then take a look at Micron earnings, right? They had a huge beat. The shares were soaring after hours. And it's been a really big week for the chip trade, for the semiconductor trade, for the AI trade overall. And these companies are delivering, including NVIDIA at its conference this week where they unveiled this new technology. And expectations were high leading into that. You know, I think it's really tough to say when is this going to top out. And I think that's what's driving a lot of this chasing and this FOMO in the AI trade, which we are seeing.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's a pretty clear consensus right now. All right, Gunjan,
sure.
You stick around. Jeff, you stick around, too. I know you're nice and comfy in the home office right now. We're going to have much more with both of you later on the show. We're going to talk about the market's post-Fed pop, plus what Astera Labs' 72% surge in its trading debut, what it may signal about investor appetite for Reddit. But before we get to that, that's later in the show. We want to get some of your top trending stories. We're going to start with Sotheby's looking to score big in sports. The auction house announcing its first sports week with sales of Jordans, Ali trunks, Muhammad Ali trunks, and also a Kobe jersey. Sneakers worn during Jordan's 6 championships set a new global auction record earlier this year. So we have to wait for that new auction when it comes to sports. You've also heard of pizza and beer, but what about pizza in wait, pizza and beer? Whoa. That's why I don't read these ahead of time, Gunjan. I'm always amazed by these. Frozen pizza brand Tombstone and New Belgium Brewing Company teaming up on a pizza-flavored beer with a pepperoni kick. It just doesn't, I don't know if that sounds good. All right, starting on April 7th, National Beer Day, a 4-pack will be available for $50. That's at least while supplies last. And also a quadriplegic, becoming the first person to ever play chess on a computer using a brain implant. That's thanks to Elon Musk's Neuralink, shown through a live stream on X. The patient says he's satisfied with the device so far after previously relying on a mouse stick for certain tasks. Worldwide Exchange, coming back after this. Pretty amazing story, right? All right, welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. Time now for your morning call sheet. We start with TD Cowen upgrading its rating on Broadcom to outperform. It says, despite the stock's recent run, and it is confident in sustainability and diversity of growth and potential upside. KeyBank initiating coverage of Microsoft, giving it an overweight rating and a $490 price target. KeyBank calling Microsoft an early beneficiary of AI and can further capitalize on that boom with its Azure and Copilot offerings. And Bank of America cutting its price target on Boeing to $210 per share. It says shares of the aerospace giant are likely range-bound due to possible reputational and operational risk in the short to medium term. Time now for your global briefing. The Bank of England set to issue its latest rate decision later this morning. Economists are expecting it to maintain rates. That decision is due out at 8 a.m. Eastern time. This after a surprise this morning from the Swiss National Bank, cutting its main interest rate by 25 basis points. Economists had expected it to hold rates steady. The surprise move makes it the first major central bank to scale back tighter monetary policy. And Apple opening its flagship store in Shanghai today, just one day after CEO Tim Cook posted a video from the city on a social media account, according to local media reports. Cook says there is no supply chain in the world that is more critical to us than China. His visit comes as iPhone sales in China, they face pressure from rivals like Huawei. Turn our attention now to Washington, D.C. Congress is racing to approve a deal to fund part of the federal government, but the clock is ticking ahead of tomorrow's deadline to do so as lawmakers try to avoid a partial government shutdown. Emily Wilkins joins us now with the very latest. Emily, good morning. Where do we stand?
Good morning, Frank. Well, yeah, with 2 days left until that partial shutdown, lawmakers have taken yet another step towards fully funding the government. Early this morning, 3 a.m., they released the details of the $1.2 trillion package to fund the government through the rest of the fiscal year. So not kicking the can down the road, they're getting it done this time. Now, the bill is likely to pass with bipartisan majorities in each chamber, but a potential shutdown, it's not a question of support right now, it's a question of time. The top two senators on government funding, Democrat Patty Murray and Republican Susan Collins, said in a joint statement that, quote, there is zero need for a shutdown or chaos, and members of Congress should waste no time in passing these six bills. Now, Speaker Mike Johnson is considering waiving a rule that would have required members to have 3 days to review the bills before a vote. And that means that the House could pass the bill as soon as today if they really wanted to get a jump start on it. But in the Senate, where the process to pass legislation is just naturally longer, all 100 senators are going to need to come to an agreement on time to avoid a shutdown. Otherwise, government runs out of funding at the end of the day on Friday. And so let's get into what's actually in this package. The $1 trillion of funding includes a historic 5.2% pay raise for service members. It does cut DEI programs at the Pentagon, and it trims down some foreign aid programs. It does fully fund the U.S.'s obligation to help defend Israel, though. And it would also bolster border security, increasing the number of border agents and funding for border security technology. And of course, for anyone still worried that the government is coming for your gas stove, good news, the bill does prevent that. So for now, your stove is safe. And on a more serious note, so are Afghanistan's who helped the U.S. government. An additional 12,000 special immigrant visas are included in this funding package. And we'll see whether the House is going to vote on the bill today or tomorrow. Frank, we might get some clarity on that later this morning. I believe Speaker Johnson is set to join us.
All right, Emily Wilkins live in D.C. And Emily, you're absolutely right. We will get some more clarity. House Speaker Mike Johnson will have more in the race to get a funding deal finished. That's coming up on Squawk Box at 8:10 a.m. Eastern time. All right, coming up here on Worldwide Exchange, the Fed Field Rally set to continue what our Jim Cramer says should be the market's key focus. And spoiler, it's not the Fed or rate cuts. Stay with us. All right, welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. Here's what to watch today. A busy morning of economic data with initial jobless claims, manufacturing and services PMI figures, as well as existing home sales on tap. We also get earnings from FedEx, Nike, Lululemon, and Darden restaurants. On Capitol Hill, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen testifies before the Senate Finance Committee, and Reddit begins trading on the New York Stock Exchange. Ahead of that debut, catch Reddit CEO Steve Huffman in a first on CNBC interview at 9 a.m. Eastern time. And speaking of CEO sit-downs, catch more of Jim Cramer's exclusive conversation with NVIDIA's Jensen Huang on CNBC Leaders. That's tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. All right, investors looking to keep the post-Fed decision rally rolling today. Take a look at futures strongly in the green, solidly in the green. Looks like the Dow would open up about 100 points higher. Let's bring back our all-star panel of Jeff Kilberg, founder and CEO of KKM Financial and a CNBC contributor, as well as Gunjan Banerjee. Help me out, Gunjan.
Banerjee.
I'm killing it.
You
today.
Know it. You know
it. We just talked during the break. That's the bad part. Lead writer for Live Markets at the Wall Street Journal. She's also a CNBC contributor. Guys, we were just talking about Micron's pre-market rally just a moment ago. There's another chip stock to check, Astera Labs, after yesterday's IPO, and then another big debut today. Jeff, I'm going to start with you. What are these two IPOs? What could they tell us about the markets? Obviously, Astera had a big debut, up over 70%.
Yeah, with a $9.5 billion market cap after that IPO, you really saw the appetite as we've seen the IPO market unthaw. We really saw it seize up after COVID. But yesterday was very telling that the AI appetite is there. But if you look at Astera Labs' biggest customers as they sell those connectivity chips into the cloud, you're talking about NVIDIA, you're talking about some of the big players. I think Reddit is a very different IPO taste. So I don't see, despite the fact it's priced at the high end of the range at $34 for Reddit, I don't see that appetite matching the 72% pop yesterday, because it's just apples to potatoes. It's not the exact same thing. It's another social media platform versus anything AI. Anything AI is being gobbled up by investors, Frank.
You know what? It's funny you say that, Jeff, and Gunjan, I'm gonna come over to you. A lot of people do see Reddit as an AI play because of the data that you can get from a Reddit to train large language models.
That's right.
Well, I hope I'm wrong. Sorry, Gunjan, go ahead.
That's okay. Just zooming out a little bit, I think what the Reddit IPO, the Astera IPO tell me is that animal spirits are back in markets in a really, really big way. I mean, that pop in Astera yesterday, that reminded me of 2021 when the speculative fervor was sweeping through markets. You know, everything that was making its public debut was just soaring. Reddit priced at the high end of its range, so it's going to be really interesting to see how it trades today. And this, you know, these animal spirits, it's not just the IPO market, it's the bond market too.
Right.
Companies are rushing to the market to issue higher rated debt. We've seen more than $400 billion in issuance this year, and investors are just eating it up. You know, there's a lot of money to put to work, and we're seeing that in the IPO market, in the bond market, in the stock market.
All right, Jeff, I'm going to come back over to you. Let's talk a little bit about Lululemon. Earnings coming up later today. What's your view on Lululemon in particular and retail overall?
Well, I think Lululemon has just had a tremendous year. When you talk about Lululemon, hand in hand, you have to talk about Nike. But Lululemon has been the stock to own on any metric, Frank, 1 year, 3 year, 5 year over Nike. But relatively speaking, it's only trading at a 32 times forward PE. And on a 5 year average, that's relatively inexpensive. So there is some value in this growth stock. And Lululemon, they continue to bring a quality product to the market. And as long as the consumer continues to show strength, I think Lululemon can continue to move higher.
All right, so you mentioned Nike as well. Nike under a bit of pressure recently. Some questions about competition from some upstarts like an OnQ. Also, what a lot of people call a lack of innovation. What's your view on Nike going forward?
You know, I think if you look on a 1 year, you're seeing Lulu up about 60% and Nike dragging 16%. But I want to own Nike. I have a couple teenage kids here and everyone wants to wear Nike. So I think you're going to continue to see this laggard short term come back. But it has been rough sledding for the last couple of years for Nike. But I think it provides opportunity to buy here from an investment perspective, not essentially a trading perspective.
Gunjan, what do you think about just the retail sector and also the strength of the consumer?
I think that is the biggest question moving forward. You know, Wall Street has really high expectations for the consumer, for earnings, broadly speaking, this year. You know, that's in part what's driven this incredible rally in the stock market. But consumer spending got off to a little bit of a slow start at the start of this year. You know, Powell did not seem so concerned about that yesterday, but that is a giant question looming over markets. Was that some seasonal softness, or is that the start of a bigger weakness to continue? So that's really one key thing to watch,
right,
you know, as we head into the next earnings season and look at some key economic data releases the next few weeks.
You know, speaking of earnings season, our Jim Cramer on Mad Money yesterday, he was talking about just what to look for post earnings. I'm going to let him say it right now, but he's talking a little bit about earnings season himself.
We don't care about rate cuts. We care that the Fed's no longer the enemy. That's what this stock market's saying. But while the Fed is important, the specifics of when we get rate cuts or how many, that's become small potatoes. The important thing is we can afford to think about earnings again, rather than worrying endlessly about the Fed's next move.
All right, I'm going to go to both of you right now. We got to hit this quick. Gunjan, you first. Do you think Jim Cramer has it right? We're past worrying about the Fed, and now it's all about earnings season.
You know, we have seen a huge shift in markets over the past few months. For almost 2 years, it was this kind of game of chicken between the market and the Fed. You know, the market would say, we think we're getting 6 rate cuts, 7 rate cuts. And the Fed was saying, uh-uh. Now the Fed is saying we might get 3 rate cuts this year, and it does not seem to matter for investors.
Okay.
You know, I hear a lot less about the Fed these days from investors I'm chatting with.
Jeff, giving you the last word.
You know what? I love Jim Cramer, but I think he's got this one wrong. The Fed is driving the boat here. If you look at the sensitivity we had to the Fed's road ahead, we really saw last December that we were expecting 150 basis points in cuts. Now we only have three. The fact we still have three is going to be the momentum for people who are on the sideline in cash to come into the marketplace. So the Fed is absolutely in the position. And I'm really surprised we're giving them so much credibility. Go back to fall of 2021, Frank. The Fed was talking about inflation being transitory. They were dead wrong. So at the end of the day, I don't trust the Fed.
All right, we've got to leave the conversation there. Jeff and Gungeon, great to see you both. That's going to do it for us here on Worldwide Exchange. You've been listening to CNBC's Worldwide Exchange. You can always catch us live weekdays at 5 a.m. Eastern.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.